As a homeopath, we believe that the body symptoms are all a manifestation of the mental and emotional state that will be very specific in what it's saying.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
It's time for Life Interrupted Radio, a show dedicated to practical skills for your mind, body, and soul. We're hoping we'll go in one ear and stay there. Here's the host of the show, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. The NIH estimates nearly 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder. To put that in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. You'll be as surprised as I was to find out what autoimmune entails. I brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted. So let's get started. Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And oh my goodness, it's my Friday night. I hope it's your Friday night, the start of my weekend. I'm curled up with my chai tea. I've got some homemade almond milk. Really good. You probably noticed I've been on a chai tea roll lately. If you want to know how to make homemade almond milk, just drop me a quick email over at lifeinterruptedradio.com. I'll explain it to you. It's super easy. I am going to a farmer's market this weekend. I am so excited. And they've also got a craft show going this weekend, so I'm really excited about that. I hope you've got some joy looking forward to this weekend for yourself. And tonight, I have a fantastic guest on a topic we haven't covered. I think we've skirted the edges of this topic before. So we've got the beautiful Liberty Forrest with us. She's an international psychic and medium and an award-winning author of the book, The Power and Simplicity of Self-Healing, and a columnist, a Huffington Post contributor. And her abilities became evident in childhood and naturally evolved over the years until eventually she began reading professionally. For 5 years, she appeared approximately monthly on BBC Radio doing psychic phone-ins. She also took to the stage where she enjoyed connecting audience members with loved ones in spirit. With a background in social work and counseling, Liberty combines her professional experience with her natural abilities as a psychic and medium to assist her clients in getting unstuck and moving forward in life. I am so thrilled to have her here because tonight we're going to talk about getting unstuck with our health. What's keeping us stuck? What kinds of things are we not thinking about that could be keeping us from getting absolutely the life we want? So welcome, Liberty. Thanks for being on the show. It's so good to see you.
It's great to see you too. And thank you so much for the invitation. It's lovely to be here.
Oh, awesome. I'm so excited. Liberty and I chatted, maybe 6 months ago in Calgary about getting her on. And she's such a busy, busy lady. We've just now been able to snag her. So I'm so thrilled that she's taking the time out to join us here. Now, Liberty, I know you've had some health challenges. We were talking about that before. Can you share a little bit about your history so people can understand you know what it's like to be a thriver?
I really do. Yeah, it kind of started in childhood in an environment that was very toxic and frightening. So I was having panic attacks at a very early age, wow. Always at night. So I just thought other people woke up at night and shook and teeth chattered and all of that. I didn't know what it was.
Wow.
And that carried on, well, till I was 30, actually. But I left home at 16 thinking I was leaving the insanity and craziness behind me. That was kind of not the way it went. And I discovered by the time I was in my late teens, I was a divorced single parent with the first of what ended up being 5 children. And I still had the panic attacks. I was anxious all the time. I had OCD. I had just started, I'd become anorexic, and that went on for several years. And I also became agoraphobic. And then all of those are anxiety disorders. And then to deal with all of that, I ended up having an addiction as well. So through my 20s, along with more kids and marriage and divorce and more stuff going on like that, my health really started to suffer by the time I was about 20. And it was one thing after another. And by the time I was in my 30s, with no risk factors and being the poster child of good health and how you should live your life with no smoking, didn't drink, or well, rarely, great diet, lots of exercise, all of that. I'd never been any, well, I was always underweight, never mind sort of even average weight. And suddenly in my 30s, I started with heart attacks and unstable angina.
Wow. That's shocking. The poster child for good health. I mean, no risk factors.
Right? No.
Other than stress, I think.
Exactly. And that's what my doctor said. He said, well, the only thing that makes any sense is, he knew how insane my life had been. just unusual, a lot of unusual things that most people never go through. And I had them all at once. So it was a lot of stress. Yeah, it took a toll.
I think a lot of people with the autoimmune, one of the things I've heard over the 160 plus episodes is that stress plays a huge factor in autoimmune. It really takes a toll on the body. Now, I know you think about it, how the body is trying to talk to us. And it's just talking of a language that we don't easily understand. It's not talking English, obviously.
That's right. And as a homeopath, I certainly learned more about that, because as a homeopath, we believe that the body's symptoms are all a manifestation of the mental and emotional state that will be very specific in what it's saying. But I guess I thought I was exempt from that rule or something. And I just was mad at my body all the time because, you know, my knees are dislocating, my hips are dislocating, and, you know, got migraines or bad headaches or this or that isn't working and back pain, you name it, I had it. Just all sorts of problems. And then the heart problem on top of it. So there I was sort of thinking, it's just I have this weak, defective body that just, you know, wasn't born with good genes. I always say that the gene pool that I had was like the little kiddie's wading pool where everybody poops in it.
Oh, dear.
Really, it was terrible genes. Not good health on either side. So,
A vision.
Gotta laugh. Anyway, I found that, you know, you're right about, and even with autoimmune issues, that's, you know, the body's kind of attacking itself. Well, I discovered that I was attacking myself with my language. This happened many years after the heart problem started, when I became really sick and just fed up and frustrated and decided I'm going to fix it myself. Like other people cure themselves of things that they're supposed to be incurable. I'm going to do this. And the first thing I realized was I'd been yelling at my body and forcing it to do things even when it hurt, and forcing it to work when it wanted to rest, and, you know, pushing through the pain. I'm a single parent. I think that's probably partly why. Single parenting 5 kids and there was nobody to do things. I had to do it.
Yeah. But also I think our culture too. What is that? Yeah. I am woman, hear me roar. I can do it all. The frying pan and the bacon, or whatever that song was.
Exactly. That's right. And so I realized that as I'm yelling at my body and sort of cussing it out, as they say, I referred to that as sending it hate mail. I was sending, sending angry, nasty messages to it all the time. Well, how on earth was it supposed to function well? I knew that there's a mind-body connection, but I hadn't ever quite seen it until I started that process of self-healing. And I really got it, how much damage I'd been doing by sending all these negative messages to my body, and I just kept making it worse. And then, you know, I needed to give it a really big apology. But autoimmune issues are about your body attacking itself. Well, I was kind of doing that. I was doing it for my body. So it's no wonder that I think a lot of what we say and think can create that situation where the body, now it's trying to say something, it's rebelling.
Saying, absolutely.
You can't treat me like this, or the stress in your life, or the idiot husband, or the abuse, or the whatever it is that's eating at you, you know, some trauma from a long time ago, whatever it is, heal it, fix it, because that's what your body's trying to get rid of, trying to express it.
I love that language you said, the eating at it, though. And that's exactly what the metaphor that they gave me with autoimmune, that your body is turning on itself. And I kept seeing in my mind's eye this little sort of Pac-Man, Pac-Woman type of thing going around, nibbling at the edges of my body. Mm-hmm. I find that fascinating. Language is so powerful, how we talk to ourselves. Now, you were able to change the way you talk to yourself. I think some of us take a little bit longer to change how we talk to ourselves. I know mine didn't come overnight, but you had what I'll call an epiphany.
I really did. And the first piece was in that moment when I realized about sending my body hate mail.
I love that. How many of us can say guilty?
Well, it's the only thing that really made sense to me. But that is how it felt. I think the first thing I felt was almost, I think, a sense of shame. Like, how could I have spoken to my poor body like that? How could I have treated it that way? I'd ignored all the many things it was doing for me all the time. As damaged as my heart was, it was still beating and keeping me alive. Or, you know, my lungs worked and they're still giving me oxygen. And all the little cells and all the bits, all the things, all the chemical whatever's going on, it was still doing all these things, whether I was working, sleeping, whatever I was doing. And I ignored all of that and I only focused on what wasn't right. And so I gave myself a massive apology. And I did that for several days, like morning and evening as a part of my meditation, which was another thing I had sort of made sure to incorporate in this self-healing journey I was about to begin. I just pulled up my knees and hugged myself and just sent the biggest apology. And I just wept, just sending love and like, just, I love you and thank you. Just gratitude for everything it did well. All the things that I could think of that it did and all the things I didn't know specifically, you know, medically speaking that it does, but it was just apology and gratitude. Those were the biggest things. And then I thought about, and this is another one of those things where I knew it, but it sailed past me because I guess double standards, right? The language you mentioned about language, things like, I thought about how often in my life I said things like, oh, it rips my heart out. It broke my heart. It broke my heart. It broke my heart. It broke my heart. Said that one a lot. You know, it's heartbreaking.
And you have a broken heart.
Exactly. My heart broke.
Yeah.
And people say things like, oh, my head is killing me. Oh, this is killing me. And I always say now, don't say that. You know, yes. The universe is listening. Your body's listening. Your body's listening to you. And it will set up disease according to what you instruct it to do. If you say it's killing you, well, guess what? You do have the power to do that. And one of the things that really drove that point home was while I was doing this self-healing process, I remembered hearing years earlier about some people with multiple personality disorder, which I guess they call dissociative identity disorder now. And they might have, it was somebody who had one personality had insulin-dependent diabetes, but all the other ones could have all the sugar they wanted when they were the ones in control. And I thought,
fascinating.
Yeah, it really is. I thought, I know I read about that. I'm going to investigate this. So, and this is the thing when I did this process, just little pieces were coming back from my memory or I see things and hear things. But anyway, I started investigating and not only are there lots of documented cases of that with this disorder, also some personalities may be anaphylactic with nuts or certain foods, but the other personalities can eat whatever they want. And it's even cooler than that because they can also have burns and scars and tumors that come and go and come and go depending on the personality that's in place at the time and control. And that's entirely based on belief because they are separate beings, you know, in their head, so to speak, they're all separate people. So, you know, this scar that I have on my lip, or my upper lip there, you and I are as different as we can be, same as with these people, right? They think they're two completely different people. So you wouldn't have this because you weren't the kid who got her face stuffed in the pile of gravel and broken glass. So if you were the one in control, bang, that scar is gone.
Oh my gosh, that is absolutely fascinating. We need to take a quick commercial break. Everybody hold on that mesmerizing thing because we'll be right back with Liberty Forest and continue this because to me, this is just shocking and surprising and not so surprising because it's certainly some of the things that I did to get to the place where I am today and through my 3.5 year journey of autoimmune. So we'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour, but maybe you didn't know I'm also an author, mostly nonfiction. But recently I delved into the world of children's fiction with the Pinky Chenille series. If you haven't had a chance to check out Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, go over and check it out at pinkychenille.com. That's Pinky, P-I-N-K-Y, Chenille, C-H-E-N-I-L-L-E.com. Thanks. See you there.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
I am Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family. And then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at EmbraceRefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're here with Liberty Forrest, the internationally known psychic and medium and award-winning author of The Power and Simplicity of Self-Healing. And we've been talking about what I'll call beliefs and how they strangely manifest in our body, how our language can change how we feel very quickly. And all sorts of other fascinating ideas about how we talk to our body, how we think about our body, how we feel about our body creates a lot of things happening in our body. So welcome back, Liberty. I was just fascinated by this idea of multiple personalities and how if one of them has a scar, it doesn't necessarily mean another or all the other personalities have a scar. That is shocking, surprising to me that at that level, because I've been a firm believer that a lot of work that I, personal work, self-compassion work I did, self-love work, meditation and stress reduction, a lot of things I did that way that I would say were more of starting in the mind first and then working into the body were powerful, but I had no idea that the mind was that powerful. My gosh.
It really is, yeah.
Wow. So let's talk a little bit about some of the tips that we could use in this segment. As we're saying, Liberty, this sounds really good, but also sounds like, where do I start? I mean, how do I know what beliefs are? One of the tips you had was listen to our language. Where would you suggest somebody just begins to start with this, to explore it?
I think it's really important to look at where you're suffering first in your life, whatever that means to you. Where is the suffering? Is it in relationships? Is it your physical health? Is it both? Is it job? Is it how you feel about yourself? And when you can sort of start to look at that, look for a theme and or see if you can trace it back to a root feeling. Because sometimes you can kind of see a common thread, you know, where it might all start with a lack of self-love. Or it might all start with a need for approval or something. You might start to see a thread when you look at where the places are that you're not feeling right in your world.
Quick question, Liberty, on that thought. I wanted to circle about on something just for clarification. Because I've had friends and, well, I like to call it same man, different body syndrome. They never look within themselves for that common thread. It's like out there. You're talking about we look within ourselves for this common yes. thread, not yeah. that common thread.
No, that's exactly right. Thank you
okay.
for pointing that out. That's kind of what I meant, though. Excuse me, pardon me, this pond full of frogs in my throat today. Yeah, it's about looking at where is the problem. You know, it's going to originate somewhere inside us and what we believe about ourselves or the world or our place in it. And that's where you can sort of begin to see like what's really going on. It's not always that difficult because really we're not that complicated. If we really look, we can make things complicated, but that's not the same as actually being complicated. You know, we're pretty simple in terms of basic beliefs and how it manifests. If you don't believe you love yourself, that's going to manifest in every aspect of your life, for example, right? If you're filled with self-loathing, you're going to attract people who validate that, and you're going to be in jobs that you hate. You'll put yourself in circumstances where nothing feels good because that's what you think you deserve.
It's funny that you bring that up, because if you're having a hard time finding it, this happened years ago to me, that I had this epiphany where I was saying to a girlfriend, I was showing off the latest bow, you know, like, here's my latest, and he excuses himself, I think, to the restroom at the restaurant or something like that, and she leans across the table and says, "What are you thinking?" And I launched into, "Well, you just don't understand." And at that moment, I had this epiphany of, like, every time I had said to someone trusted and beloved in my life that said, "What are you thinking?" And I launched into that phrase, "You don't understand," I was the one not understanding. For whatever reason, I was playing out some old pattern.
Yep, I totally get that. I don't even want to talk about how many times I've been divorced.
Or said, you just, to your
relationship, friends, you know, went awry, right? Yeah. And I kept finding, as you put it, what did you say? Same man, different suit or something?
Same man, different body.
Different body, yeah. Exactly. That's, I kept, they all look different on the outside. The stuff came in a different package, the things they were presenting. And I needed to love and appreciate and respect myself before I was ever going to find anything healthier. And finally figured that one out. But yeah, it starts in here. And just like you, people would be like, "You toot." I'd be like, "Well, you don't understand him, blah, blah, blah." Right. But you're right. I didn't understand myself.
Well, that was key for me, because I guess I sort of knew that, but I was having trouble finding it. And then I stopped and said, okay, the world is showing it to you. Your friends are telling you, right? Mm-hmm. Stop and believe what they're saying. Stop arguing with them. Yeah. And once I did, I started listening to them and thanking them with a lot of gratitude. Thank you for sharing with me. It became easier for me to see my own patterns. But for mm-hmm. a long time, I couldn't see my patterns.
Well, and just like you said about, we don't see what's going on in ourselves, like in that, or in the relationship in that sense, it's the same with the body. We don't always understand what it's trying to say to us when it's giving us symptoms that don't feel good. Same thing, kind of ignoring. Yeah, whatever, you quit hurting, go away, leave me alone. Just doesn't look like that.
Well, I also wanted to touch on that you're a psychic and a medium. All of us aren't born with that beautiful gift. Do you have some tips for us who, I said, wish we could be more intuitive about things, who could learn to trust? I guess my question is, how did you know you were psychic and learn to trust what was actually coming through? To me, that's such a place where I just can't go, because I've never experienced that. And I'm fascinated. Like, can I teach myself some of the skills, like to be a little more intuitive?
Well, okay, answer to your first question, actually, yes. I mean, everybody's born with some aspect of this, but it can be developed. But some people are going to develop it more easily, or it will come more naturally. It's more a part of who they are. Other people might just kind of get better at intuition rather than kind of being really psychic. And the difference, I should say too, people often don't know the difference. Being psychic is about connecting with the energies around people or events, or, you know, earthly kinds of things. And being a medium is about connecting with spirit. So in answer to your other question about how did I know, I sort of got slammed in the head with a bag of bricks about it when I was...
Wow, that's quite a visual.
That's kind of understated in terms of how it felt, because there were probably a lot of incidents while I was growing up, but because I was in such a toxic environment, I likely missed a lot of those subtler energies. And when I had just turned 16, I woke up one day having had a horrible dream that my two best friends were dead. Two best friends from childhood. And woke up and I couldn't shake the feeling. I was getting ready for school And I just had this sick, awful feeling that wouldn't go away. So I went to breakfast and sat down at the table and told my parents, and they looked at each other. My dad got up and went to the living room and came back with the morning paper and put an article in front of me, and they were dead. They'd been in a car accident the day before, and the family was in a car, and they were in a collision with a train during a blizzard.
Oh my gosh.
So first of all, I was horrified that they were dead. That was a massive shock at that age.
And at any age.
Yeah. But I mean, like children die. I couldn't get my head around it at all. And then the really terrifying part was, how the heck did I know? How did I have that dream? How could they have communicated that to me in that dream? And I was scared to death, because this is back in the dark ages, almost. Okay, maybe the middle ages. But there were no psychic fairs. There was no John Edward on TV. There was no Long Island medium. There was none of this. Nobody talked about this sort of thing. And I was really afraid. What does this mean? How did I know? How could this be? It was really scary. So it was a lot of, but after that moment, after that event, all of a sudden it was just like the floodgates opened. And I started having more dreams or feelings, and it just kind of evolved over the years. But it took a long time before I was comfortable with it. And especially when it got to the point where I needed to start passing along messages. If there's a spirit standing in, you know, next to a person I'm talking to, and it's like, hello, I want to tell you something. Like, shut up. I don't want to talk to them. They're going to cry. If I tell them there's a dead person here, they're going to cry.
I hadn't thought of that.
Oh yeah. But I finally figured out that I was supposed to do that. That was the whole point. I'm supposed to pass these messages along. Same with, you know, even well before I got to that point, when I would know something was wrong somewhere or with someone, and I needed to call, and I'd find out, yep, there was something wrong. And it just evolved over the years. So it wasn't really a case of how did I learn to trust it. It just kept happening, and it was always right. So I didn't really question it, I guess. I just was afraid of it for probably a good 10 years.
Wow. I guess I can understand, especially the way you first discovered it. We need to take another quick commercial break, Liberty, but we'll be right back, guys. Stay tuned, because we got plenty more to come.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
What are all the things you witness online in a day? Cats playing piano, selfies on your feed, your friend's picture being turned into a nasty meme that's been shared 50 times, 51, 52. When someone's being bullied online, it's hard to know what to do. Now you can speak up with the witness emoji. It looks like an eye in a speech bubble, and it's in the symbol section near the clocks in your phone. You'll let the world know it isn't cool, and you'll let your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're here with the internationally known psychic and medium Liberty Forrest. She's an award-winning author, a columnist, and a Huffington Post contributor. And she's been sharing with us I've been just leading her down all sorts of rabbit holes here. We've been talking about self-understanding, self-talk, and we just ended up on how she knew she was psychic. That's a bit of a rabbit hole, I know, Liberty, but I was fascinated by that because I'm like, how does someone just like know? But have you shared with people how they can enhance their, you said everybody has the ability, some are just maybe a little more attuned to it than others. How can people begin to, because I'm a big fan of my intuition and I'll say trusting my gut, and or the times I haven't trusted it, I've gone dug on it. But
that's about the only time we really get into trouble is when we ignore that.
So let's talk about a little bit, how do we know it's our gut and not some bad B movie? We just maybe, you know, had indigestion. The bad B movie came up into our head.
One of the ways that I work with people, I teach them and help them develop their abilities as psychics and mediums. And one of the first things I've often run into is people saying, well, but I did listen to that little voice inside and it was telling me, you know, my husband would feel like this if I blah, blah, and my kids would feel like that if I blah, blah. And wait, that's not your little voice. That's your guilt. That's other people's expectation and obligation and demand and expectation of you. I mean, when anybody else is expecting something of you, that's about them. It's not about you. Your little voice will always be about you and what makes you feel good and what you need and what you want to do, what's right for you. Whether it's, you know, I think I'm going to turn left at this corner, and then something in you says, oh, no. Even if you don't know what that is, maybe it's your highest self telling you there's an accident down there waiting for you. Whatever that is, when you get that something that just says, oh, go here, do this, and it's about something that will benefit you, even if you don't understand it, then that's something to pay attention to. But when it's got to do with benefiting somebody else or making somebody else happy, that is not your highest self or your intuition. Same thing.
Oh my gosh. Well, I have a quick question though. That brings up this idea though of what if I get a little voice that I need to tell, well, Susan over there to run? Is that my intuition?
That's more of a psychic thing. Intuition is more about ourselves and what's going to happen or what's good for us. That's like your highest self speaking to you. If you get a sense of something's going to happen to that person, that's more a psychic thing where you now tapped into that person's energy and you're picking up something, unless it turns out to be wrong, in which case maybe it was a fear or a worry or some other thing. But if it turns out to be right and she just got out of the way of a big safe dropping out of the sky on her head or the grand piano in the cartoons or something, then you can go, whoa, that was cool. I am psychic.
So we take some time to build listening to this voice. What are some other steps that you do? I know you do some meditations and some gratitude work. Let's talk a little bit about a few other things that we can do to enhance it, to help it grow, to trust it.
Yeah. One of the biggest things, as you mentioned, it's meditation and mindfulness meditation, where you're just finding stillness in your mind, just being still. When you have that sense of stillness, that allows you to hear those subtler messages that we ignore when we're rushing around and, you know, you jump out of bed in the morning and it's, oh, I have to do this and this and go here and there. And we're on the devices right away and we're checking the weather and checking the news and checking the traffic and they're going to get out. And
I'm tired just hearing that.
No. And I can't tell you how often I've taught a lot of meditation classes. I always say to people, it's best to do it first thing in the morning before you've had a chance to jump into your day, because invariably, well, you're busy and you got your work brain on. And the last thing you want to do is slow down for a little while, right? It's easier to just get it out of the way in the morning. At night, we're often too tired. We fall asleep, which is fine, but it's not meditation. So I always say, there's something I heard called the RPM method, rise, pee, meditate.
That's cute. RPO.
I was thinking was records, right? Remember those vinyl? How many RPMs? but
the 45 generation here.
Yep, absolutely. So sitting in stillness, even if you give yourself 5 or 10 minutes to just do a breathing meditation in the morning, just to close your eyes and focus only on your breath and every aspect of your breath and your breathing and how it feels as it's going in and coming out and whatever, or staring into a candle flame. I love the candle meditation, or a smiling meditation where you just sit with your eyes closed and a little smile on your face, and the body after a few minutes gets the message, oh, you're smiling, and it will actually create a chemical thing where it sends the lovely endorphins through your body and you feel better.
So yeah, absolutely. I love that one, because in my body language work, my other life, we talk about all these things, and like the power pose is really popular now from Dr. Amy Cuddy's work at Harvard, and standing like either Superman or I like to say Wonder Woman. And it goes beyond that, as you said. That changes the hormone. She's proven that raises your testosterone and lowers cortisol. But what's fascinating to me is it doesn't even have to be that. You can just smile. You can open your eyes wide. You can even do a little forced giggle. And it doesn't have to be long. It can just be very quick. And I'm surprised at how fast the body thanks you for it, how fast the body switches.
Well, if you think about when you have, if you hear something, a noise that startles you, almost at the same second that you hear it, you can feel the adrenaline rush through your body when it startles you, right?
Yes.
It's that quick. It's lightning fast, the response between the thought and the brain, or the thought in the brain and the response in the body.
Absolutely. And there's no reason why it doesn't go the other way towards joy, exactly. Too. It just doesn't go fast towards fear. It can go fast towards joy, happiness.
Yeah. Awesome. We just don't maybe feel it quite as much, but it's lightning fast.
Yeah. So as we're beginning to explore our intuition and explore the meditation parts, what are some other things that you counsel people on in understanding how to get unstuck? If they're saying, well, you know, I've tried this meditation before or whatever, and my grocery list wanders through my brain. What are some other things that you talk to people about getting unstuck so they can move forward?
Well, sometimes people feel like they need to make a change and they're not sure what it is that needs changing, or they maybe want to get out of the career, but they really don't know what's next. They're not sure where to go. Maybe it's that relationship doesn't feel right and they don't know if they can fix it. Maybe they want to get out of it, but they're afraid, or they don't have the assertiveness skills to do it, or the self-love to do it. Sometimes it's old emotional trauma or wounds that are keeping people stuck in a place of self-sabotaging behaviors, pushing away possibilities, pushing away happiness, pushing away, you know, the great promotion or the happiness. Sometimes people are just not happy and they don't understand why. And because of my own life and insane things that I've learned or insane experiences, and the things that I've learned and all the healing work, and then my background in the social work field and doing some counseling, I now can just use my psychic abilities, kind of like laser-focused counseling, because I can see into what's really going on. I can pick up psychically some of the issues that are creating a problem. And it's just super, super condensed counseling, just zeroing in on where the issues are and where the problem lies. And then start addressing that, start healing whatever that is, or looking at the changes, or looking at the options and the possibilities, and then looking at what the obstacles are to, you know, that they're preventing them from reaching those possibilities, and then work on cleaning those up.
And something came to me as, we'll say, like a thing wandered through as you were talking, and we're about people self-sabotage and stopping themselves from getting what they want, whether it's wellness, a healthy body, a healthy mind, healthy soul, or I don't know, that great job, that great promotion, whatever it is. But to me, what came through my mind, the word came through, fear stops us a lot of times, the fear of the unknown. Even if the unknown is what we say we want, oftentimes I feel like people are willing to say, well, but I'm safe here. I may not like it, but I'm safe here. I mean, I know how to react here. Do you ever find that keeps people stuck, this sort of stuck in fear?
Oh my gosh, yes. Absolutely. Because, and that's a very human response. It's meant to help us. It's supposed to keep us safe. You know, the fear of that unknown, that's the thing that keeps us safe. Like I said before, really pretty simple. We really are. You look at the lizard brain, right? That's a scary thing. It might hurt me. I'm not going there. It's that simple. And you know what? There, I reached a point in my life well into this whole heart problem and lots of other insanity going on. And it was sort of the major turning point where then things began to change. And I was thinking, how did I end up here again? You know, another toxic relationship and another, like, whatever. It was just a mess. And I peeled back every major decision I'd made since the one when I left home at 16. I looked at each big decision, and I didn't know decisions had layers, but they really do. It's not like you go from think to boom, decision. There's a whole process. and as I peeled them back, every single one of them was rooted in fear. And then I went, oh, so making a decision based on fear really will never give you a good outcome. It will always suck. I swore to myself that day that I would never again, if I heard myself say, oh, but I'm afraid to, I would never again do whatever that, or like not let that happen. Or I wasn't going to let fear stop me. I was going to do whatever it was if I was afraid. I mean, not jump in front of a train or something, but you know what I mean? Just the standard, right?
The standard fear is holding your back. Well, maybe I'm not good enough to take that job. Or what happens if I take that job and I fail and then I'm jobless?
Yep. And then like 3 or 4 days later, I got an invitation to visit a friend in England. And my first thought was, oh, and I'm afraid to. And I had no real reason, but the short version, because you don't have a lot of time here, I ended up going because I said I would, because I'm not letting fear stop me. So I tried some excuses. Oh, childcare, oh, money, blah, blah. Nope, I said I would. So I went. I was 10 minutes out of Heathrow. I fell in love with England. I wept and said, oh my God, I'm home. I ended up moving there. I lived there for many years. I did not intend to come back here, but the universe had other plans. But almost as soon as I got there, and then, when I lived there, which was 10 months later, I think, everything opened up to me. I started writing. I started doing readings. I started painting. I was tearing all over the place. And I used to be a homebody because I still had kind of residual anxiety and agoraphobia things. So for me to up and move across the planet and just start tearing all over Europe, driving around, and I blossomed like crazy. So that's what happened when I wouldn't let fear stop me anymore. And I had lots of other fears along the way, but every one of them was like, yeah, I dare you.
I love it.
Try to stop me.
I wanted to share this idea when you said it felt like home. Mine wasn't about a physical home like yours was moving to England, but mine was, I had been working with a mentor who I adore and I still adore, and he taught me everything that I know now about body language and nonverbal communication. But I'd been doing it, mentoring with him and under his tutelage, working for him like 10 plus years. And I know that at times he was gently trying to, you know, fly, Sharon, fly.
You're the nest.
Right. But it was fascinating. I had been working with all different types of groups. But one evening, I had the opportunity to speak to 9 professional women. These were all upper C-suite type women. And I was doing it in a home. I call it a salon. I like having those where you have tea and, you know, around the living room, asking me questions about things about body language communication. I had this moment, Liberty, where it was just like, Sharon, you're home. And that changed the whole course of my work. It was that moment I immediately started working with the professional women, doing the courageous communication, teaching public speaking. But it was that moment of where I went, yes, I'm home. I think that's a really powerful metaphor that you shared.
Yeah, it's I think a lot of people struggle to find that feeling of home and belonging, whatever that means to them. You know, it doesn't have to be a physical place. It can be a group of friends. It can be a hobby. Just something that just feels like it, well, the word's a little overused these days, but I have to use it, that resonates. Something that just really lights you up and says, oh, this fits, you know?
Yeah. And it isn't just one thing, is it? It could be, I mean, I have many places where now that I know what that feeling is, I go, yep, I'm home here too. So
it was the first place I'd ever felt it, that's for sure. Yeah.
Well, we need to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll talk to Liberty about her great book, The Power and Simplicity of Self-Healing, and more about how we can work with Liberty. So we'll be right back. Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour, but maybe you didn't know I'm also an author, mostly nonfiction. But recently I delved into the world of children's fiction with the Pinky Chenille series. If you haven't had a chance to check out Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, go over and check it out at pinkychenille.com. That's Pinky, P-I-N-K-Y, Chenille, C-H-E-N-I-L-L-E. Thanks. See you there.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. On Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. You know, I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're here with international psychic and medium Liberty Forrest. She's an award-winning author, columnist, and Huffington Post contributor. And her abilities became evident in childhood, a psychic and medium. And we've been sharing all sorts of wonderful ideas around finding self-compassion, self-love, finding where we're home, what our passions and purposes are, as well as how to trust ourselves. My goodness, Liberty, we've just been all over the place tonight. Share with us a couple of final thoughts you have, and then where we can get your book. I know I should say books. There's more than one, but tonight we've been sharing from The Power and Simplicity of Self-Healing, as well as how can people learn more about you? And I think you actually even have a free gift. Do you think you might be psychic?
Yeah, there's a 50-point quiz, and it gives the results, too, based on your score. So that's a bit of fun, and a lot of information in it as well. You mentioned about trusting yourself, and that has been one of the biggest, most important, and most difficult lessons of my own life. And I've seen it in lots of the people that I work with as clients as well. And we tend to trust other people before we trust ourselves. And that really, when you think about it, that's ridiculous, because we have no control over what other people do. It doesn't matter how many promises they make. It doesn't matter how wonderful they are. It doesn't matter how reliable they've been. They're still people, and they can have bad days. They can have things that go wrong, whatever it is. That we cannot always rely on somebody else, or should not rely on other people before we rely on ourselves. But we so easily give up that power, and we think, well, you know, I'm not worthy, or I'm not good enough, or I won't be able to, or I don't know how to, or I must be wrong. And that's a big one. You know, that's a big one. We just don't believe that we could possibly be right. And, you know, I don't know what to do for myself, or I can't figure it out, or I've got too much emotion in the way. And that's why meditation is so important. That stillness and that making sure that you keep yourself sort of in a place where you can be, I hate this word too, but grounded and feel a sense of like roots, in, you know, literally in the ground, and just let your mind be still so you can be connected with who you really are. And when you develop that trust in yourself and belief in yourself, that's when you make the best decisions for your own life and you stop putting everybody else first. You know, really, what do they tell you on the airplanes, right? Put on your own oxygen mask first.
Yes, before you help others. Great metaphor.
It's so true. We tend to think that, oh, but we're being selfish. You know, if I put myself first, I look after myself first, that's awful. Well, no, because it's so true. And I don't know. I mean, I knew this for decades before I finally actually figured it out and started to do it. People around me weren't necessarily happy about it, but that was sort of their problem. It's like, what? You mean you're not going to give up yourself for me anymore? No, actually. You know, I finally understood, like you said about having compassion for yourself. That was the, sort of the last piece of that puzzle for me. I finally realized I had compassion for everybody else on the planet. I trusted all these other people on the planet. Never had any of that for myself. And once I got that message, then things really started to change. But it's really being still and honoring yourself and respecting how you feel. That's how you'll make the best decisions.
Oh, respecting how you feel. You just hit a big, big point for me, because the one thing about autoimmune with any chronic condition, as you know, with your heart condition, I found in the medical community that they were really good at acute care, but long-term sort of chronic conditions, they had never walked in my shoes. And a couple of times I had to say, look, you have a chronic condition? No. Someone you love have a chronic condition? No. Then don't tell me how I feel, because nothing is worse than someone telling you how you feel and you don't feel that way. And then you get this sort of battle going on inside you, especially when it comes, what I like to say, from the white coat authority. So obviously you've touched a rabbit hole there for me too.
I just wanted to add too, because when you just said about chronic things and mentioned about my heart, I don't think I actually said it, but I did get rid of it. I've been fine for 6 years now. I've had absolutely no heart trouble. And
bravo!
All the other things that I was dealing with, all the dislocating joints and all the other stuff, all of it, it's all gone. I actually did fix it with that whole self-healing journey, and it's all documented in that book.
A thriver, folks. Here's our one of our thriver tribe. Awesome. We're not survivors here. We're thrivers. So Liberty, in just the last couple of minutes, how can people work with you and where can they find the book?
Book is available on any online store, any of, you know, the usual places. They can order it from any bookstore if they like as well. And they can work with me by contacting me at yourstoryofhope.com. I work with people on the phone or video chats like this one. And it's always wonderful to be able to see people who really want to transform their lives. And one of the biggest things I love about my work is giving them hope that, you know, it can feel better, it can be better, that they can be more of who they're meant to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I want to make sure yourstoryofhope.com is where we can find our free gift. Do you think you might be psychic? The 50-point quiz?
Yeah, it's one of the places. Yep.
Okay, awesome. So it's yourstoryofhope.com.
That's right.
Fantastic. Everyone, this has just been awesome, Liberty. Thank you so much.
Oh,
absolutely. This is a topic we haven't touched much about, so I'm just was thrilled that you could make it with us tonight. Everyone, go have a great weekend, whatever your adventures. And oh, before I forget, run over to lifeinterruptedradio.com, transcribe tribe, sign up for that. We've got almost all the transcripts done. I think we're down to just like the final maybe under 10 now, and out of 160 plus episodes. As I told you before, my team's been scurrying around to get that done. We just came up with that idea, I don't know, a few months ago. So had a bit of a backlog, but they're almost all done. So run over there, because you've probably heard some amazing things tonight, definitely wanting to know her website and everything else. So go sign up for lifeinterruptedradio.com, transcribe tribe. Go over there, you get the little pop-up window that says sign up, and you'll be able to get all of the transcripts for free. Everyone, go have a great weekend, whatever your adventures, and as always, enjoy.
The information provided on lifeinterruptedradio.com is for educational purposes only. What you hear, read, and see on Life Interrupted Radio is based on experience only. The information presented here should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on Life Interrupted Radio. You've been listening to Life Interrupted Radio. To learn more, listen to other shows, and gain free resources that can help empower your life, be sure to stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.